Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
You'll remember last year how Singapore's digital banking license was probably one of the most widely discussed topics, especially within the fintech circles. A lot of people expecting to continue talking about it this year. But then that's really not the case right now. MAS was expected to announce the recipients of the licenses by the middle of this year, but due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they have extended the assessment period for approving digital bank licenses. And even with an announcement expected to be made perhaps at the end of this year, observers are saying that it may be an uphill task for them to build the customer base against more established conventional banks. So did this COVID-19 pandemic perhaps change the outlook of digital banks in Singapore? And how is the future looking like for digital banks going, and how's that going to change post-COVID-19? Well, on the line to help me out with these questions and more is Michael Araneta, Associate Vice President, IDC Financial Insights. Michael, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Let's talk about how this COVID-19 pandemic has caused MAS to announce that they're going to postpone the announcement of these 5 digital banking licenses. Within the circle, was this something that was expected?
Well, any regulator who would be seeing the macroeconomic data, for example, would just really look at the conditions of the market, especially if the market is going to be opened up. And it's very clear that the industry has really changed from even about 3 months ago. And the conditions, in fact, the prospects of the market have really changed considerably. And I think it's a very good use of, I think, judgment to make a decision to postpone temporarily the announcement of whoever will get the virtual banking licenses. It is very important to also note that the virtual banking licenses will really have to take into consideration the new normal that we are in, and therefore those banks that will be given licenses will have to be operating in a different world than what was expected before.
For sure. And would you consider, the new normal as something that would be advantageous to recipients of the licenses? Or, you know, are they at home right now thinking, wait, I've got to reinvent myself in some way?
That's right. I think the criteria for making a decision on who gets the licenses and who does not, we really have to look at the conditions that we are in. For example, there's a very strong focus now on safety of funds, and therefore the contenders for these virtual banking licenses will have to make sure that they will have to communicate and articulate that value to the customer, who frankly would be on a heightened state of emotions, especially at this time. And also they need to be able to make sure that they are available and reliable. Those values that they are going to communicate will have to come on very, very strong to communicate strength of the proposition, not just uniqueness of the proposition, which was expected before.
Michael, taking it from a very man-on-the-street point of view, and we know that the COVID-19 situation has shaken up the banking sector, you would think that we are well-placed because you have lots of apps, you know, like PayNow, PayLah, and whatnot, and, you know, you get your food deliveries all pretty much contactless, and it's perfect for this current situation that we're in, or at least to mitigate it. What kind of struggles do you think new entrants will have competing with, you know, all the more established players right now?
Well, it's obvious that the traditional banks by themselves are, in fact, responding very well to the COVID-19 situation. You're looking at a 50% growth in digital transactions. Some of the customer segments that were very sticky on branches and were also very slow in moving towards this digital transactions are moving very quickly and heavily into digital transactions as well. So there's really ample services on the digital front that are already provided by the traditional financial services. And therefore, the struggle coming from the fintechs now would be to make sure that they play a role in the life of the customer, especially at this time.
So that means, like, for someone like me, it would have to be a case where they have to argue a point where it's good for me to have more options in terms of digital banks.
It would be good for you to have more options, yes, but the availability of your funds on this digital assets would actually become more important this time.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, despite this postponement of the announcement, these bank licenses, five of them, in fact, all 21 digital banking contenders in Singapore have stayed the course. Sometimes you tend to think, okay, maybe they would drop out of the race. Why are they staying put? Clearly, they are seeing a huge opportunity despite the current market share of traditional banks.
That's right. And I think there would still be a lot of opportunity to really address in Singapore, especially from the proposition of coming up with a wholesale banking proposition that is really responding to the new global trade flows, for example. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at three of the five of these digital banking licenses are supposed to be wholesale focused, not just retail. There would the opportunities to really look at how to integrate financial services to the life of the customer, whether it is in advisory or whether it is in insurance and so on. There will still be a lot of opportunities, only that the conditions have really changed significantly.
We're speaking with Michael Araneta, who is Associate Vice President, IDC Financial Insights. Of course, we are talking about the future of digital banking in Singapore post-COVID-19. Michael, there's reportedly been a steady growth in digital wealth and online banking solutions, and services are increasingly being used, of course. So you're talking even by people between the ages of 60 and 80. And there's always, you know, that meme going around of what forced your company to go digital, what forced you to go digital. Is it fair to say that this pandemic really is responsible for that push into digital banking?
Well, it's definitely giving them an opportunity to discover what was not possible for them before, or what was not convenient for them before, ironically. But we already saw that this was going to be a trend of self-service type of capabilities moving to the wealth management segment. And this is just really the right time that it's picked up.
Yeah, I know we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, digital banks versus traditional banks and how and what digital banks need to do. Where the traditional banks are concerned and how this pandemic has put them in a little bit of a better position in terms of the digitalization and whatnot, should it be also considered as a wake-up call? I mean, what can they do to stay ahead of the game?
Well, if you look at their investments into digital over the past couple of weeks, in fact, you see that they've already recognized that digital is the mm-hmm. future. They're really redefining the customer journeys. The processes by which they're able to serve their customers have really moved to the digital front. Of course, they recognize that the branches will still be there, but digital is really the future. Well, you can say that this is a wake-up call, but they've long woken up, recognizing that digital really is where the game is at.
And what about, you know, where building relationships is concerned? I mean, you talked about the customer journey. In your opinion, what's the best way to infuse both, you know, the digital experience and, of course, you know, the overall experience for the customer, that relationship that a customer likes to have, you know, when a simple thing like going to a bank?
Well, I think the main challenge now is to be able to serve the customers along two challenges that are very extreme and focused. First, sure. is that you really have to personalize, right? And to understand the data that you have about the customer and to really personalize the experience based on this customer segment of one. But you need to be able to personalize this at scale as well, which means that you need to be able to increase the hyper-personalization to the entire customer set. And I think that is the challenge that is ongoing now, to be able to personalize, but to be able to scale this as quickly as possible.
Then that really hasn't completely changed the trend that we were getting into, because, you know, this was talked about a lot, you know, personalizing in that experience. So would you say COVID-19 has accelerated the change as opposed to changing the trend?
Yeah, it has really accelerated this, but it's with good timing as well, that there are new technologies that are available. There are platforms, for example, that you are able to build to be able to gather data, but also make sense of what is the best action that we have for this particular customer. We've currently been working with a company called Backbase. They're mm-hmm. building platforms of customer transaction and engagement to be able to design this very, very well and scale this personalization very quickly.
I'm speaking with Michael Araneta, who is Associate Vice President, IDC Financial Insights. Final question for you, Michael, and it's based on data from Moody's that shows that as of September last year, incumbents DBS, UOB and OCBC control over 60% of Singapore's $660 billion deposit base between them. Michael, do you think that suggests that perhaps there could be little room for new challenges in the banking sector in Singapore or not?
The big banks will continue to be big. It is just really making sure that the pie, Singapore Financial Services, continues to grow. And right. This is the reason why wholesale is really the big opportunity to support SME growth for Singapore, serving the entire region. And also the corporate and SME sector will become a very good growth story in the years to come.
Yeah, that SME sector is something we cannot take for granted, for sure. Michael Araneta, Associate Vice President, IDC Financial Insights. Michael, I appreciate your time this morning. You do take care and stay safe, okay?
You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.